Wednesday on the Horn. Dragging you up over the hump on the 15th of September. A lovely day we had yesterday, man. Outside in the afternoon. Kind of cool. Cooler. Little breeze. Here in middle September. We'll take that. Obviously, tropical storm slash hurricane Nicholas made landfall and headed east. Thinking about our friends in, gosh, the coast of Louisiana again. They're just getting pummeled with more rain on top of Hurricane Ida. Seems like they've dealt, Lake Charles, that area has dealt with now three or four hurricanes and big storms the last couple of years. Well, think about those folks. But a little warmer today, 93 and sunny on the middle of the month of September with a lot to do. Bucky out today, as we mentioned, taking care of some personal business. He'll be back mañana. But we got a lot going on today. I'll tell you, I don't know if you saw the video Tom Brady posted yesterday, Zay. Is it fair to say that Tom Brady is a social media savage? He's just a savage. I'll explain that to you here coming up. Also, I think a new rule in the NFL, because I was looking at the NFL schedule. This is the day on Wednesday we start looking forward to this, to the upcoming week, and stop talking about what has already happened. And, you know, there's 16 games, of course, in the NFL. Only four games of 1-0 teams of all 16. Only four of the matchups feature teams that won their games in week one. And who would have guessed that one of them is Houston? No, that's not true. That's not one. There's only three. Houston plays Cleveland. Cleveland lost to Kansas City. That's out. There's only three. Three games of 1-0 teams, eh? New Orleans and Carolina both won. San Francisco plays Philadelphia in what should be a good game this week. And then that game in Philly, the home opener for the Eagles. And then the Vegas Raiders play at Pittsburgh, coming off their Monday night miracle over Baltimore, which was there's only three of those. I think there's only three games of 0-1 teams as well. Everything else is 0-1 versus 1-0 across the board. But my new rule is we can never have the Detroit Lions on Monday Night Football. Why would they ever do that? Like, why on earth would the Monday Night – why would we ever want to see – I got a buddy, Matt, that lives in the neighborhood that a good friend loves the Lions. Like, but he doesn't want to see them on Monday Night Football. And they're playing in Green Bay after Green Bay got spanked by the Saints.
Dan Campbell might do something crazy. I'm all about it. If you saw the way the Georgia State coach was acting before they got ran off the field, then, yeah, I'm with it. Dan Campbell, anything could happen.
Oh, man. Like, I just think it should be a rule. The Lions can't be on Monday Night Football. That just ruins my Monday. I know I'm sticking it to the Lions fans because they're eager and excited to see their Motor City Kitties in prime time. But I really believe most of the Lions fans I know are kind of nervous about how it'll look. They don't want the nation to see that mess. They got to watch it at noon on Sundays typically, and it's bad enough. But so we'll get into some NFL, and here's why Tom Brady's a savage. So he posted a video. Part of the schedule this week is Tampa Bay coming off their thrilling win over the Cowboys, hosting the Atlanta Falcons. That could get ugly, right? Atlanta was, I thought, the worst team in week one. They were dreadful in their loss to Philadelphia. Didn't really compete on either side of the ball from these eyes. But they play in Tampa. So yesterday, you'll remember back in the Super Bowl, Zay, when the New England Patriots, quarterbacked by one Tom Brady, rallied to beat the Falcons?
Yep, I remember.
So Tom Brady posts one of these videos with his big, pretty smile and handsome Tom, just saying, "Oh, shucks, you know, coming off a great win, looking for another great week, let's go to work." But over his right shoulder, the clock is clearly evident, and it says 3:28. So at 3:28, the week they're playing Atlanta, he went to the video to say, you know, act all shucks, Mr. What was it? Who was the guy on Leave It to Beaver? The play
Wally?
No, that's Wally Beaver. No, the Eddie Haskell. Eddie Haskell, who would, like, in front of mom and dad, to be all gentle, like real nice and polite, and then, of course, he was the bad kid. So Tom Brady's just doing this little savage 3:28 thing to the Falcons fans. Right at 3:28, the exact score that it was in the Super Bowl, he posts his little video. Way to go, Tom.
Every goat's petty. Jordan was petty. Brady is petty. Every goat is petty, and they find some type of motivation with their pettiness.
3:28. Way to go, Tom. That's part of the NFL weekend. Cowboys, of course, are in LA to face the Chargers, and we've already talked about with Ari Temkin, there'll be more Cowboys fans in the building than Charger fans. Probably by a wide margin, too, by the way, at SoFi Stadium. Houston, as we say, will be in Cleveland, the dog pound, to face an angry bunch of Browns. Because they thought they had a win in Kansas City and really their own mistakes. And Patrick Mahomes is really amazing. But, boy, they had their punter dropped a ball. Baker Mayfield threw a bad pick late. Kareem Hunt had a fumble that allowed the Chiefs to rally back. But so that Houston, after their win over Jacksonville, will step up in class, it's fair to say, when they go to Cleveland. All right, let's get to your headlines. We'll get back into our coach's corner coming up here. More from Longhorn quarterback Casey Thompson. Also, our conversation with Texas head basketball coach Chris Beard. Some of the highlights. We had a good chat with Coach yesterday. And at the bottom of this hour, our friend Brian Davis will join us, Austin American Statesman, hookem.com, his thoughts on the Casey Thompson to quarterback switch. But right now, let's get you the trending topics, headlines of your Wednesday morning. UBO Business Services brings it to you, and yeah, we'll start with the Longhorns, 1-1 now on the season, and they are now turning their full attention to the Rice Owls. Their final tune-up game ahead of Big 12 conference play on Monday, head coach Steve Sarkisian announced that redshirt junior Casey Thompson will be the starting quarterback. And it will be his first start ever as a Longhorn. And Thompson revealed yesterday in a media availability that it's going to be his first start of any kind since high school, November 2017, when he was a senior at Newcastle High in Oklahoma City.
I'm excited. I've waited a long time for this opportunity. And I don't know, I just think it's a testament to perseverance and hard work. And I'm excited for this team, the opportunity that we have to bounce back and to continue to push forward and press on towards the goals that we still have at hand.
Thompson has played the entire fourth quarter of both of the Longhorn games so far, and he made the most of it, leading the Longhorns to points on four of the five drives. Of course, his high watermark as a Longhorn was at Alamo Bowl last December. Played the whole second half in for Sam Ellinger and completed 8 of 10 passes, 170 yards, 4 touchdowns, which tied a Longhorn Bowl record in that blowout over the Buffaloes. Game kicks at 7. Our double-barrel pregame coverage right here on the Horn goes live at 3 o'clock from Bebo Boulevard and the Texas Tail Garden. Just a week into the NFL season, Dallas Cowboys have already been dealt a blow with confirmation yesterday from team owner Jerry Jones that starting right tackle Lael Collins has indeed been suspended by the league for 5 games for violation of the substance abuse policy. On his weekly radio hit on 105.3 The Fan yesterday, Jones said that Collins will not appeal and that the second-year man out of Texas Tech, Terrence Steele, will start in his place at right tackle. Team will see the return of all-pro right guard Zach Martin this week. He was removed from the COVID list yesterday, but defensive end Randy Gregory added to it. He is reportedly tested positive and likely won't play on Sunday in L.A. That game, by the way, 3:25 on Sunday. You'll hear it right here on the Horn. Austin FC back on the pitch tonight at Q2, welcoming the LAFC to the capital city for the second time this summer. The match will be the third time that Austin and LA have faced off this year. LA's won the first two by the same score of 2-0. Game kicks at 8 o'clock, or match kicks at 8 o'clock. Austin sitting in last place of the Western Conference, just 19 points. Baseball last night, Rangers pound the first place Astros 8-1 as Texas tagged Houston starter Zach Greinke for all 8 runs, hit 3 long balls. That was Greinke's first start since his battle with COVID back in late August. Still trying to get his endurance back. Also last night, LA Dodgers clinched a spot in the NL playoffs with a win over Arizona. They joined the first-place Giants, who clinched a spot on Monday. And Round Rock wrapped up their series with Sugar Land with a loss, 6-3, to the Skeeters.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
All right, Zay, so on that NFL schedule, best game of the weekend. I'm kind of searching. I think I'm really intrigued to see that San Francisco Philadelphia game. I just like watching San Fran play. Hopefully, in your fantasy league, you picked up the rookie running back Elijah Mitchell, who's going to be the feature back. It looks like now with the Raheem Mostert news, Mostert's out with knee. How about Kyle Shanahan revealing that Mostert's out for the year now? You have season-ending knee surgery, and so the rookie out of Louisiana, the Raging Cajun, will tote the rock for San Francisco. They'll play Philadelphia. And I know Bucky was really excited to see what the Eagles did on Sunday when they beat the Falcons. I'll be eager to see if that was what I thought I saw, which was Atlanta. It just looked like a dog under their new head coach, Arthur Smith. Or Philadelphia is much improved with Jalen Hurts and now Jalen Reagor and Devontae Smith. And that defense still loaded up with good players in Philadelphia. They've improved their secondary. So I'll be eager to see that game. I think that's a good one. Obviously, Cowboys and Chargers will be a lot of fun. I think a lot of points will be scored there with Justin Herbert and Dak Prescott. And the Sunday night games, Kansas City-Baltimore. I thought it was going to be a matchup of 1-0 teams, but the Ravens let that one get away to Derek Carr and the Raiders on Monday Night Football, which, by the way, as the TV ratings are in, most watched Monday night game in an opening week since 2013. 8 years, Zay. 8 years since that many people watched a Monday Night Football Week 1 game.
Yeah.
And it was a doozy.
Yeah, if you got Peyton and Eli calling on ESPN2 like they did, then those Rams are going to continue to be up because they did a hell of a job. Oh, it was amazing.
Yeah, I didn't. I knew it was on. I don't know why I didn't flip it over there. I'm going to start doing that. By the way, that high rating, almost a million of it, 800,000 of it, came from that ESPN2 broadcast of Peyton and Eli Manning. I think Charles Barkley made a special appearance on that.
Yeah.
And it's just really, it's them sitting in this room watching the game and being brothers and talking the game. It's pretty funny, cracking on each other. And I saw some highlights of it. I'm going to have to watch that next time.
Yeah, it was great. Obviously, those two are, you know, some of the greatest, I guess, funny guys in NFL history, especially Peyton, and you definitely saw that on Monday night.
It's a unique mix, and I know. Remember, Monday Night Football approached Peyton about being the color analyst on Monday Night Football. You know, kind of being the guy to replace John Gruden, and Peyton said nah, and they just came up with this, and this is pretty clever, and it might actually be a hit after what we saw in Week One, because you're right. I mean, you have two guys. What they've combined to win 4 Super Bowls in Peyton and Eli Manning, but you know, if you have a brother, you know, when you watch the game with your brother, you're just ribbing each other, you know, cutting up. You know, I saw one highlight where Peyton, he put a helmet on that was sitting on the table, and he's trying to tell the audience what Lamar Jackson's doing when he changes the play and how that works and calling out the cadence, and he had to take the helmet off, and he said, yeah, this helmet doesn't fit. And, of course, Eli flyers back. Yeah, surprising, Mr. Big Head, that you can't find a helmet that fits. But that was the kind of stuff. So I'll be watching that little slapstick. But you get good football analysis, too, on top of the Mannings doing the Manning thing. So
Peyton said that this is the first time him and Eli watched Monday Night Football since 1993.
That's the first
together.
Time? Oh, together.
Together.
Back to when they're kids.
Yeah.
Back when they're kids watching Monday Night Football. All right, good stuff. So, yeah, huge rating for that Monday Night game. But I don't know that the ratings will be as good for Detroit and Green Bay. Yeah, Detroit should never be on Monday Night Football. Just saying. Put them on Thursday. But Monday night, I don't know, maybe people don't want them on Thursday either. Hey, let's dive into our Coach's Corner. It's brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations, avconsultations.com. We hit it every morning just after 7 or just before 7:15 or just after. It's brought to you by avconsultations.com. Normally Bucky here to be the coach in the corner, but today... how about little Casey Thompson? He sounds like a coach on the field. We had Casey yesterday in a media availability and, you know, talking about this opportunity that he's gotten. And I think it bears playing this again, Zay, for our 7 o'clock hour. We played it last hour, but Casey Thompson was asked, you know, about this is the first time we've talked to Casey or heard from Casey since the decision to go with Hudson Card to start the first two games. And Casey said, you know, he was stung pretty good about this. But here was his answer to the question when he was asked if he ever thought about transferring, maybe jumping into there, thinking about the transfer portal since he didn't win the job.
I mean, for me at this point, like I told you guys before, I'm very thorough in my thought process and my approach to things. But I mean, at this point, I'm already in this thing and I've waited my opportunity and I've waited so long. It's like there's no way that I could just quit and let up at this point. So my thought process was, it hurt for a second and I'm going to let it sting. But I'm going to wake up the next day. Literally, I took a day to kind of, you know, think about it and soak it all in. And then as soon as the Monday comes around, I just woke up and I went back to work and I said, no matter what happens, I'm going to be ready to play and I'm going to take this thing over when the opportunity presents itself. And so that was my thought process. And kind of my mindset going through it. It was just trust the process, like I said, and just continue to persevere and work hard. And my mindset was, you know, if I'm not going to get named week one and it's not going to be given to me, then I have to go take it myself. And I have to show my teammates that I'm just going to continue to work hard and be the best I can be every day. So that's the attitude I'm having with it.
You know, there was a time when that would be the obvious answer, right? But obviously, this day and age of the transfer portal and quarterbacks, and they want to go and play, and I understand it. I mean, if you're a third-year, fourth-year player and you lose a starting job to a freshman, it's natural to think, well, I don't want to go my whole college career and never play, never get to start. I mean, this is what I came here for. I've worked towards it. And if the coach, I can't control the coach's decision. If he thinks the other guy won, then, you know, by all means. But that was not Casey's thought. He was... you know, going to be in this to come back and win it. And now he's got his opportunity against Rice. Casey was also asked yesterday, you know, does his prep change at all now that he's going to be the starter? Of course, he went into the last couple of games knowing he was going to play, but he was going to be the backup. How does that change things for him this week?
No, nothing has changed. I think I've told you guys before, like even last year and the years that I was a backup behind Sam and even the last few weeks, nothing changes as far as my preparation. I still I still watch full game clips on Sunday and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I watch third down and red zone. And then towards the end of the week on Friday, you know, getting on the bus and going to the hotel, I still just watch cut-ups and stuff and go through my playbook and the game call, the game sheet, my tips and reminders. And I'm going to keep the same approach and the same exact habits that have got me to where I am today. I think that it's worked so far. If anything, I think it's time to turn up the notch just a little bit, you know, maybe a little bit more film study, a little bit more treatment, a little bit more time watching film on my receivers and stuff like that. So I wouldn't change my approach. And like I said, I wouldn't do anything different.
All right. So there's Casey Thompson. As we heard in the 6 o'clock hour, a lot to like about that. Hard not to root for him. He's going to get his opportunity now against Rice. And I think if he performs at the level he has performed at, you know, whenever we've seen him, typically it's been in a backup role. And he, as we say, he's never hadn't started a game since high school. This will be his first time to run out there with the first team on the first series since he's been at Texas. But if he does perform, I think it's going to be his job, because I do not believe that Steve Sarkisian wants to get into conference play and be rotating quarterbacks. I'm not saying he won't if he's forced to because of an injury or poor performance, but I really believe this is his opportunity to seize this job and seize it and take it and not give it back and really run with it. And I think there's a lot of fans out there rooting for that. I do think maybe this is how it had to reveal itself for Texas. I think I'm going to be fair to Steve Sarkisian that he knows what he's doing when it comes to evaluating quarterbacks, and he just didn't see it separate enough during camp and during the offseason. But maybe over the first two games in real action in the game when it matters, he saw how the team responded to Casey Thompson, how Casey responded to the situation. And I really think, Zay, the competitor in Casey, you hear it when he's talking about it, but you saw it on the field. When he went into that game against Arkansas, and a lot of folks had already turned it off and passed out or, you know, not watched the fourth quarter, it was 33-7. But he came in and played that game like it was the first quarter. Now, he was playing against reserves, and it wasn't the same Arkansas defense, but his intensity, you could feel it. Like, he really brought it. I mean, he, as I said, that final touchdown, he ran through three guys at the goal line. He could have run out of bounds and have been first and goal. But he put his shoulder down, got another touchdown on the board. And I think that's part of what Steve Sarkisian liked seeing, was the competitiveness of Casey, even in a blowout game.
Yeah, and he has a little bit of an it factor to him. And it might not be the it factor that NFL scouts might see, but I think he has the it factor for, you know, his game on the college level. And I think he has the locker room. I think he's always had the locker room's back. And, again, he's just always been that confident guy, and he's been preparing to be the starter since, you know, when he called Sark, when he knew he got the job. So at the end of the day, I'm not surprised that, you know, he's going to take this starting job, and the fact that he was named the starter going into Rice.
Yeah, and remember, just like you said with Casey, Hudson Card will play. It'll probably be a lot like this where, you know, if it's in control, and you hope it's in control if you're Texas in the third into the fourth quarter, you get Hudson Card back on the field. But again, I think once you hit conference play, that's what these three – Bucky and I have talked about this a lot. These three non-con games were to get ready and be at your best for a conference. And, you know, how Steve Sarkisian evolves this offense, what Pete Kwiatkowski, now that he knows through, you know, it'll be three games, how this defense can operate, and then really put your best product on the field and put your best foot forward starting against Texas Tech. It really has to come into focus this week against Rice. This guy says, he's starting against Rice. Of course he's going to look good. Even you would look good. Well, and that was my point before he even announced it on Monday. I was saying, you know, if he switches to Casey, he's probably going with Casey, because this is a get-well game. This is a, everyone's going to, you know, come and be extra motivated to make up for the performance of last week. I do expect Casey to play well, and that makes it a pretty easy decision. And I think what you said about the locker room, he's always had the locker rooms. I think that's true. And I think maybe not that there were factions, but, you know, they love the Casey Thompson, the teammate. And that's what this team's going to need. Steve Sarkisian knows now he doesn't have a good offensive line. You don't just snap your fingers and that gets all better. They're going to have to coach around that all year. And I think the experience and then the athleticism of Casey, the assertiveness of Casey Thompson, gives them an opportunity to maybe do a little bit more in that offense to keep the chains moving and be a more explosive offense. And to set up, I mean, one of the things about Saturday's, hey, was just their inability to get first downs. I mean, people talk about, what, you know, Bijan Robinson ended up with 19 carries, which was a lot considering how little they had the ball. They ended up giving them almost 20 carries in that game. But you got to get more serious. If you can't get a first down, you can't ever get really a rhythm in your offense. You don't ever get a defense on its heels. It's always that first down that you know, then you can go a little tempo. Then you can push the throttle a little bit. They never could get that. And that was the failings of the offensive line, the blocking, and, of course, the quarterback and receivers not making things happen. But that's going to change on Saturday, 7 o'clock kick. We'll hear more from Casey Thompson throughout the course of the morning. Coming back, though, we'll get the thoughts of our friend Brian Davis of the Austin American Statesman, Hook'em.com. He was a part of that media availability, the Zoom call with Casey Thompson and Bijan Robinson yesterday. His takeaways from the Sark decision and now another new quarterback at Texas. Coming back also before the end of the hour, Isaiah Collier. We'll walk us through the hot or not topics on a busy Wednesday.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Oh, man. It is only two games into the Longhorn season and already plenty of storylines emerging. They're 1-1, switching quarterbacks, trying to find some answers on the offensive line. And then the defense wore out on Saturday in Fayetteville. Not a good performance, but just one game. We'll see how they can fix it for Rice on Saturday. With that in mind, with Bucky out this morning, dealing with some personal business, he'll be back tomorrow and the rest of the week. Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline and talk to one of our favorites. He is Brian Davis, covers the Longhorn beat for the Austin American Statesman, and of course, Hook'em.com, frequent guest with us, also on the pregame show every week with Bucky and Chad from Bevo Boulevard. Brian, good morning.
Morning, sir. How we doing?
Doing good. I also, we had some stories from Fayetteville because I flew up on the IMG Learfield trip and we got stuck in an airport hangar trying to get out of town. You had some issues on your trip to Fayetteville as well. Is that accurate?
Well, let's just put it this way. I was not aware that there were multiple Fayettevilles all over the South. And, it's very easily that you can book yourself into Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I don't recommend that. But fortunately, Avis found us a little go-kart that they could squeeze us into, and, all was well. Although, I'll tell you this, as my first experience driving a Prius, yeah, I'm going to stick with the Chevy. That's fine.
They put
Chevy
you in the Prius.
Just fine.
It's too quiet. I almost got hit by a Prius in the parking lot. Well, I didn't even hear it coming. It was like I didn't even hear it. Gotta be careful. But yeah, that's funny. You booked because you get way ahead of this. You're booking your rental cars months in advance because you know where you're going, and you booked Fayetteville, North Carolina. I could see that happening. That's a shock when you get to the counter. We don't have a car for you.
Yes, sir. I don't recommend that.
Well, and then we got quite the shock when we got to the game. I mean, not a surprise the Longhorns didn't win the game. But boy, the fashion in which it happened. And I've tried to relay to the fans because having been in the building, that's as fired up a Razorback crowd as we've seen in a long, long time. It was their first sellout in 5 years. And that was part of this. I mean, there was a lot of energy, a lot of emotion in that building from the jump, and Texas did not handle it well.
No, and, I think I just sort of felt this going into it, and it definitely proved itself to be true. I mean, look, just Texas players, they had no clue what they were walking into. None at all. And, if you want to blame the coach, that's fine. I mean, it's the coach's job to get the players ready. But, look, this is Arkansas' Super Bowl, okay? If they were 0-11 going into the season finale against Texas, you would have think they were getting ready for the CFP, okay? And, current Texas players need to understand this is what it's going to be every single week in the SEC. You have no concept of how everyone wants to come and knock you into the dirt just because you're Texas. And I get it. It's always been that way a long time. But people are used to Tech, and they're used to Baylor, and they're used to TCU. No big deal. Whatever. But I'm telling you, man, when Texas gets into this conference, it's going to be a whole new world of hate of people who want to bury this program.
Yeah,
and they better be ready. If they're not, they will get buried.
Yeah, in almost all the cases in the SEC, it's a state pride thing, right? I mean, you're playing the State University of Alabama or Florida or Arkansas, and it's what it's about. Georgia, I mean, LSU, you're playing the big state school, big boys, and that's what Texas is, and they've been playing in a conference that features only one other of those in Oklahoma, and now they're going to be in a conference with all of them. But the game itself, Brian, the offensive line, I know the quarterbacks are going to be the big topic, but the biggest issues of concern started up front, and it was all game long. And I don't know how you just, if you're Steve Sarkisian, you know, snap your fingers and fix that with Kyle Flood on the offensive line. You can improve it, and maybe the realization of that for Sark is part of the reason to switch to the more experienced and a little bit more of the runner at quarterback.
Absolutely. You know, the offensive line was overwhelmed. You know, would Vince Young have struggled Saturday night? Probably so, with the way that Arkansas pinned their ears back and they were coming. And the fact that Texas just could not get any sustained push up front, it was if you're a Texas fan, that had to be very discouraging. There's no doubt about it. And, especially when Arkansas went to their three-man front, and they still gave Texas fits with their linebackers, coming through and whatnot. Look, I'm not convinced that this is necessarily a Kyle Flood problem. You know, it's like, let's just not just throw everything out after one bad game. But look, there's no doubt they have got to get better. And it starts on that left side, I think. Christian Jones, he needs to pick it up. Majors, Angulau, Kerstetter, all up and down the board. I mean, there were two plays that really – you know, as an old high school lineman myself, two things that I saw that really bothered me. Arkansas beat the Texas left tackle two times, one against Hudson and one against Casey, and beat the left tackle and knocked the quarterback into the dirt. And neither time did Christian Jones, try to help his quarterback up or shove the guy off. You know, it's like, hey, get off my quarterback. None of that. And this is like, hey, where's y'all's pride? You shouldn't be letting stuff like that happen. So I think there's a lot of things that need to get cleaned up, and they got one more game to kind of get the pieces in the right place before Big 12 play starts.
Brian Davis is with us, Austin American Statesman. I know at the press conference on Monday, Sark was kind of kid gloves with the offensive line. My judgment on that is he's realizing what he's got, and there's not a lot, that's what you got at this point. I'm assuming it was a more intense conversation behind the scenes and in practice this week with those guys, saying a lot what you're saying, Brian. But give us your thoughts on this quarterback decision. Some folks, for our listeners, weighing in saying it's a knee-jerk reaction. If Hudson's the guy, grow with him, let him go and take his lumps if he was the pick. Others, siding with this and saying they wanted Casey should have been there all along. Where are you with the QBs?
Well, I'll go back to the very beginning of August, and I expected Casey Thompson to be the opening starter for Louisiana. That's just what I've, given his longevity, given his experience, given how he carried himself both at the offseason and into training camp. I thought it was a slam dunk decision that Casey was the guy. Now, Steve Sarkisian clearly felt differently. Maybe they fell in love with Hudson's upside. But as someone pointed out to me yesterday, you can love the upside, but you've got to remember where is the floor as well, right?
Yeah.
And Casey Thompson's floor is a lot higher than what a redshirt freshman's would be. And so is this a knee-jerk move? I don't know. I mean, I think the coaching manual would tell you that you're supposed to start Hudson Card this week. If you genuinely believe that Hudson Card is the better guy, which clearly he thought that, then you probably shouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater after one bad half. That said, maybe the competition was extremely close, and it's like, hey, you have a proven commodity somewhat in Casey Thompson. And look, here's the thing, too, and I know you know this, and I'm sure y'all talked about this. It's going to be very difficult to take anything away from what happened against Rice.
Sure.
Right? I mean, both quarterbacks should play well this week. Whoever started, don't matter. So, but this is about consistency, longevity. I'll tell you this. If they have to switch back to Hudson Card at this point, then that means that this season probably will have gone dramatically wrong, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, that's well said. That's kind of my thought, that they're looking for someone who can entrench themselves and be the guy, especially as conference play begins. And I do think part of it is Casey, you know, how he competed his tail off, coming in down 33-7 in the fourth quarter and really still playing like it was the first quarter, and really giving Texas some energy. And then, you know, you were a part of the video, you know, the Zoom call yesterday with him. You know, there is a natural competitor in there, right? There is a guy that admitted that it stung when he didn't get the job, and took a day to deal with it, and then, you know, put it behind him and just competed his tail off. I mean, that's the kind of things you like, and it's what this team needs right now. Because in attendance on Saturday, Brian, that team on offense early needed a leader. They needed someone to kick someone in the tail, or you know, get some rah-rah going. They needed some belief that didn't come from anybody, including the quarterback.
That's true. And, you know, what I think had to have happened is that there has to be something more than just, well, you know, Hudson didn't miss on a couple of deep throws to Whittington and Xavier Worthy and Josh Moore. It has to be more than that. They had to have seen on film, okay, here's the play, looking at the end zone tape, okay, you missed this throw, you missed this window, you didn't pull the trigger here, why didn't you do this, why didn't you do that? One thing that was really interesting, though, is that I just find it fascinating that Steve Sarkisian is holding his quarterbacks to an extremely higher standard than maybe the rest of the team, quite frankly. You know, the line got a pass, Cameron Dicker got a pass, but the defense got a pass. But no, he's switching quarterbacks, and, you know, he's one himself. He knows what he thinks should be happening out there. So we will see.
Yeah, and I don't wonder, Brian, when we get to this game, and certainly into conference play, this is your last one, your last tune-up before the games that really matter. You know, I know he said these are our five guys on the offensive line, but if the same mistakes continue to happen at some point, I know there's some young guys behind there. You got to give someone else a chance, even if they're not as big or strong or talented. If they're nastier, and if they're going to play with the proper technique, I mean, you may have to make some switches there too. And maybe Sark said what he said, but Kyle Flood behind the scenes is ready to make some changes too.
There's no doubt. I mean, you know, you look at who they're starting right now. You look at Okafor, and some of these other guys who have been here a long time. Well, I mean, there's a reason why these guys have been backups their whole careers, right? I mean, let's face it, under multiple offensive line coaches, right? You know, Kerstetter is the only guy that has played all over that offensive line. Majors is a young guy. But what about you know, Carrick and maybe some of these other players? You know, you should try them out. If you're going to try out other guys, you know, at quarterback and defense, you should try the offensive line too.
Ryan, got to find a way to get Bijan the ball, and we'll see. I know they got it to him 19 or 20 times on Saturday, but in more explosive ways, we'll see. This is where Steve Sarkisian and his offensive mind needs to come to the fore. Obviously, Rice, you know, should be a very winnable game, but beyond that, the Big 12 begins. Hey, Brian, appreciate it. Always great stuff, and enjoy reading you in the Statesman and online at hook'em.com, and we'll see you at Bevo Boulevard, okay?
Appreciate it.
All right, Brian Davis, there you go. His thoughts and your thoughts on what he had to say. Someone says Brian has no idea what Casey's floor is. Wasn't it practice? That's true. That's true. But I do think because of the experience, it's a fair comment. It's an opinion for sure, but it's a fair comment that he does have the experience and been here as long as he has. But, yeah, I mean, it's also fair to say that, you know, Casey, you know, Steve Sarkisian never saw the separation in the quarterback battle that he wanted to see in camp. As I said earlier, maybe this is what it took to reveal it, that this is, you know, I don't think Steve Sarkisian was 100% sure. Well, no coach is 100% sure what they have until a game happens. But, you know, now he knows what he's got and who's going to battle. And when you're in the foxhole, you know, how it's going to go. And it doesn't mean that can't get better than what we saw on Saturday. But at the same time, I do think this team needs some experience, needs some leadership at that position right now, not just the guy that can zip it. You got to have some guys that got a little more moxie, I think. And we'll see if that is the case. Rice is the game, 7 o'clock on Saturday night. And it's part of an interesting college football week. We'll start to preview that week. There's only a couple of matchups of ranked teams, one with Florida and Alabama in the SEC, which would be pretty good. We'll start to preview those games as well. Isaiah Collier walks us through the hot or not topics coming up, and we're going to break some news later on in the show. You're going to want to be with us all the way to the end. Some breaking news coming your way with one of our guests in our guest lineup. It's part of a busy Wednesday on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
What's hot? and what's not.
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Hot conversation this morning, no doubt, talking Texas quarterbacks and the decision to switch from Hudson Card to Casey Thompson. Appreciate Brian Davis. We'll take your thoughts, and they're pouring in on the Specs text line. One of those everybody's got an opinion conversations for sure. Here's one I do agree with 100%. This is just think if we had played three patsies in the preseason and not discovered our issues until Big 12 play, then tried to adjust. Ouch, I agree with that 100%. I know Bucky and I have talked about that a lot this month or 2 months leading into the season, that these are two really good openers that will reveal a lot for you. And now can you go fix them? That's what this coaching staff's about. And, you know, coach around the issues that are there, improve the ones you can, and make changes where you need to. It was all right in front of you on Saturday. Also on the hot or not side, I'm hot on this. Are you that looks like Eric Bieniemy is going to be a candidate for the head coaching job at USC now that Clay Helton is out. The Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator, top man under Andy Reid.
Interesting.
Of course, played at Colorado back in the day and, you know, no college experience. I know he turned down the Colorado job in the past, but USC interested. We'll keep an eye on that story. Bucky and I have talked about Dan Campbell, his former recruit, who's now the coach of the Detroit Lions, who's now famous for saying in his introductory news conference that they're going to bite kneecaps off. Their team will punch you and you punch. We'll punch back. We're going to bite your knee off. Aaron Rodgers, on an interview with the Pat McAfee show yesterday, said when asked about Dan Campbell, he said, I think I'm going to have to wear knee pads. Nice job. And Zay, before you walk us through some questions that we've missed, how about this? Are you excited about Taco Bell trying out a new 30-day taco subscription service?
Nah, I'm good on that.
This is a Brad Kellner idea all the way through, our former colleague who's now working down in Houston. They're a subscription, $5 to $10 a month. You can get one free taco every day. You have to order through the app if you're a subscriber.
Is Pepto giving a subscription too? Good grief, man.
How about this, Zay? A man posed as a Disney World tour guide so he could skip every line. Every line.
That's a finesse.
You like that, or is that just being a scoundrel?
I mean, I don't really like grown men at Disney that much, but yeah, if you're going to scam, then do it like that, I guess.
Yeah, man. This is good stuff. This is good stuff. I you know, I get it. I hate standing in line like that. Like, whether the I'm not very patient with these things, especially for like a 2-minute ride and you sit there for 2 hours. I don't see the logic there, but all right. So he snuck up there as a Disney World tour guide. But come on, you're in the Magic Kingdom where everything's love and peace, and don't be a scoundrel. Zay, what are you having, hot or not? Oh, let me say one other thing. Thoughts and prayers to the passing of Norm MacDonald. Norm MacDonald, the 61-year-old comedian, but also former host on and news anchor on Saturday Night Live. That was sad to hear. Apparently a 9-year private battle with cancer. And, of course, the comedy world has come out in just shock of that passing yesterday, 61 years old.
One of SNL's best.
Such a great delivery. Just so unique. I mean, you don't have to see Norm MacDonald to know you were listening to Norm MacDonald, right? It's just the cadence, the delivery, the timing. Genius, no doubt.
All right, E. So I don't know if my man's going to be in the doghouse or if he's going to get mad love for this.
Uh-oh.
But Jordan Battle, cornerback for the Alabama Crimson Tide, number one team in the nation, was asked in a presser yesterday, which I will let everyone hear, what Nick Saban, the sayings that Nick Saban has, which are the best ones? Take a listen.
Yeah, I've asked a couple of the other older guys about this, but do you have a favorite saying that Saban has, one of his little coaching, quips he has?
Not that I can think of right now because he has so many, but there are a few I like, and he always talking about touch D's or you know, suck on D's or all that.
Don't. Is that the SID in the back saying don't
Charlie.
Say that?
I think he meant encourage.
Basically, someone's like, no,
I don't know how to follow that one up, but
that's great. Yes, we've heard in the past that our man Nick Saban is a fan of the D's nuts jokes. Bofa D's and that kind of stuff, and D's, and you know, again, we're all 13-year-olds at some level. We had someone in Texas the other day. We were getting one of these in Hot or Not about D's nuts. He said, "You guys are so one-dimensional. It's always D's nuts jokes." Look, you know, we talk sports. We, you know, debate the big topics. But every once in a while, yeah, a D's Nuts joke lightens the mood, right? And again, we're all 13 at the end of the day.
You know, it might be fourth and goal all the time, but when you got running backs like Derrick Henry and Najee Harris, that fourth and goal looks a lot easier. So I like Nick Saban, you know, cooling back and, you know, being a normal guy.
Is he saying Nick Saban walks his players into D's Nuts jokes? That's great. That's classic. That's all-time stuff right there. There you go, Nick. I knew there's a reason he's the greatest coach of all time in college football. Hey, so also hot on this. I just saw this day. I mentioned I screwed up last night and didn't watch the first couple of parts of the New York Mets 30 for 30 on the 86 Mets, the team I love to hate more than any other because they beat my Astros in 86. But, boy, that team was a bunch of scoundrels, speaking of that. But apparently there's episodes 3 and 4 tonight. This thing's like multiple parts. I'm all in on this. And I got a text from my buddy Mike Harge who said that he saw it and Len Dykstra was just off the chain. I mean, that dude was the wildest dude when he was playing. We'll go back into that. I'm excited. And now I got to go back and somehow find today 2 and 3, the first two episodes, so that I can in real time tonight watch episodes 3 and 4. I'm all in on that.
You know you're a nuts team when you have a four-part documentary and you only won one ring.
Well, props to ESPN, whoever put this together, because I've always said that what's the next great documentary? It's the Mets, the 86 Mets. There are too many stories to tell on the field and off the field, and the characters and the drug abuse and the partying and the arrests. It's called Once Upon a Time in Queens. It debuted last night with the first couple of parts and then 3 and 4 tonight, so check that out behind the scenes with Daryl Strawberry and Doc Gooden and Lenny Dykstra and the 86 Mets. What a great story that is. We're back. We'll reset the headlines of today and talk more Texas football. It's B&E on the Horn.